You're listening to the podcast of Friendly Fire with Ryan Doyle and John Downs from News Talk 1010.
And welcome to your Tuesday evening. Ryan Doyle, John Downs, Friendly Fire here on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010. And boy, do we have a show for you tonight.
And you are going to want to be part of it, of course. We mean the interacting stuff, like calling Star Talk, Star 8255, texting us at 71010, or even the email. That works too. FriendlyFire@astral.com.
After 7:30 tonight, why your summer vacation plan should be scrapped and your young ones should be put in school for this summer. And I'll tell you about my rather ingenious plan, playing the Grinch Who Stole Summer after 7:30.
That sounds about right. Think you pay a lot in taxes? Well, Apple pays $34 billion, and they're actually getting a steal.
It's not such a bad thing. We'll tell you about that after 8:30 this evening. Quick reminder, if we can, about tomorrow night's program. A pretty big-sized guest coming up on the show tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. Rodney King will be joining us in conversation. The anniversary of, obviously, the beating of Rodney King, the trial, all that transpired, the riots. We'll be talking about all of that with Rodney King on this show, 8 o'clock.
What anniversary is it?
It's 20. 8 o'clock tomorrow evening.
What do you get someone for the 20th anniversary of their beating?
I don't know, but I'm going to guess money might be something that Rodney King might need, but we'll talk to him about it tomorrow night.
All right.
Yeah, but let's start off here a little bit more local. A story that I guess has to do with ethics and parenting and what to do when people who have a disability procreate and have a child. It's a story that was first brought tonight, I believe, on CBC News local here in Toronto, but it happened out in Mississauga. It has to do with the Peel Children's Aid Society. And two people, Maricel Palasuk and her partner Charles Wilton, are both people that suffer from cerebral palsy. Now, that limits their motor skills, it slurs their speech, but it has no effect on their cognitive abilities, meaning all their brain faculties are fine. But they are parents now of a healthy month-old baby boy named William, a very cute little child. And the Peel Children's Aid Society has some concerns about it. They say they're concerned about the couple's ability to take care of their son, and they've expressed an intention to remove William from these people's home unless his parents secure 24-hour care from an able-bodied person. Let's start with the overall conversation, because this has many layers to it. Is it fair to even be asking these questions?
I was going to ask another question, actually. Is it responsible to have a child when you are in this position? I know that may sound harsh.
I thought you were the left-leaning, compassionate guy.
Well, I am.
If you're going to play mean-hearted bastard, I'll go home.
I'm also a pragmatic person as well, and they acknowledge. They say, we know we need help, and right now the only help they're getting is through this caregiver, and it's coming pro bono right now. So when it comes down to it, if you can't do the necessary duties associated with childcare, are you in any position to be raising a child?
Well, then that becomes a very slippery slope. And I think that you have to, and I hate that expression because it makes me sound 80, but it's the truth. You have to look at it and say, well, how many people aren't capable of fully caring for a child?
You know,
do we say to single moms, because you don't have another partner, another person in the house, you're not capable of raising a child?
Yeah, it's weird. I saw this guy on in the subway today on my way up here, and he was probably a little younger than we are. And he didn't look like he was very well off. Just, you know, I was judging a book by its cover, but you're on the subway. That's what you do. And he had about a three-year-old kid with him. And, you know, you and I think about the future and our first kid and when we feel
not
we're going to be there.
Just for the record.
Well, you don't rule anything out. What I'm saying is, you want to make sure you're in a position to be able to support a child financially, emotionally, support each other financially and emotionally as you go through. This is a big deal. And I kind of worry that with some people, and this is not a criticism of them, but I have to ask the question. With some people, I think they view having a child as an entitlement. Do you think it should be seen as an entitlement, or do you really think you should feel that you are in a position in every respect, to be ready to have a child and care for a child?
I think you can only be as ready as you can be. And I know that sounds kind of odd and cliche, but let me explain a little bit. If you're in love with one another, you have a roof over your head, you have the ability to provide as far as food and sustenance for that child, I think you have every right to have a kid. I would never take that right away from somebody. So I think maybe the definition of entitlement is a little skewed. I think that, yes, if you have, I mean, if you're homeless and you're on the streets, I don't think you should be having a kid. But if you have a home, and these people do have a home, and the only thing really holding you back are limits to your motor skills and slurs in your speech, then, and you're all your cognitive faculties are working, then what's the issue here? I mean, if these people can think and operate, and I believe one of the man in this couple, and we're going to find out more in a few minutes' time, but the man in this couple is also a Paralympian, so obviously he's with it, then I don't see what the issue is here. I mean, we're not talking about somebody who's abusing their kids. This is a loving couple, a loving home. They have every right to have a kid.
Sometimes that's not enough, though. I mean, again, I don't know. I don't have a full grasp on what the situation is with these parents, but can they get up in the middle of the night for a feeding or for a changing? You know, is this child going to get the necessary care that they deserve from these parents? And if they say we can't afford a caregiver, but we're getting by right now with a free caregiver, you can't say that's a surprise all of a sudden.
So are you saying, though, John, that the state has a right to knock on your door because you have cerebral palsy and take your child away?
I think the state has a right, and this is where you have to be very careful, is you have to evaluate the situation very carefully. But the state has a duty to ensure that every child is being looked after adequately.
That's one thing. But then to cross that line and come to the point where you're basically, I think threatening would be a word to use here, threatening to take somebody's kid away. I think that, you know, it's one thing to say you're looking after the kid, you're monitoring the situation. It's a whole other thing to say this kid needs to be taken away.
Neglect is neglect. Whether it's intentional or not, if the child's needs are not being met, then definitely the state should take over. Now, if the child's needs are being met, I don't care if they have a CP, then fine. The child is in good hands. But I'm hearing a message here that, yes, we need assistance and we can't afford any further assistance. So why would you do that? Why would you put yourself in a position where you couldn't get by if it was just the two of you?
Okay. And again, sometimes people have sex and babies come out. That, from what I'm told, that's the way it works. And sometimes it happens in a way that you might not have intended it for it to happen. But I'm not going to line up behind anybody and say that people who have cerebral palsy should be going out and getting abortions.
Well,
or that the state should force them to.
It doesn't always happen that two people with CP get together. But if you're going to look at your financial situation and decide we're ready or we're not to have a child, then why wouldn't you look at all the other factors that are required to raise a child?
If that were the case, then you would have so many people's kids taken away by Children's Aid, your head would spin.
Don't you think there are so many kids out there whose kids should be taken away from them because they're not providing a necessary or adequate care?
Yeah, but I've also seen families that have had a kid when they maybe didn't have as much means, and they've grown those means over time, and the kid was well looked after. So it can happen all ways, I think. We'll come back because I want to talk about how far the state should really go here. And a lot of people, of course, are also calling in already. It's a tough one. I know it's a tough one tonight to start your Tuesday, but put your brains to it. You can text us at 71010. Give us a call at Start Talk, star 8255. You can also email the show, friendlyfire@astral.com, also at 725 tonight. You're going to meet somebody who's gone into his own pocket to help this family out. It's Ryan Doyle, John Downs, In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010. In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010, Ryan Doyle, John Downs here on Friendly Fire. You can also listen to the show online at newstalk1010.com. Somebody writes via text message, what the hell gives you the right to decide who deserves to keep their kids, John? So you want to answer that one right out of the chute?
I'm not Children's Aid Society or the Catholic Children's Aid Society. So, no, I don't have the right. But the state has a duty to ensure that kids are being looked after. Do they need to take over in this particular case with these two parents who both have cerebral palsy? That I don't know, but it seems that one of the parents is acknowledging that they need help. Currently, they're getting it for free. So are they able to look after a child if they can't afford help?
All right. Well, here's the other question then. And this is going to affect everybody who's listening because you're all taxpayers, I'm assuming, hopefully. Is there a cause, perhaps, to go to the taxpayer and say, you should be paying for this, that this should be picked up somehow by taxpayers' costs? And we're looking about $2,000 a week. To have a caregiver in their house 24 hours. Should people be paying for this as part of maybe the healthcare system? I know it's already overburdened, but the question has to be asked. Should the family be expected to pay for it, or Should it come to the government and the taxpayer?
And that's where we land on your slippery slope.
Right.
Wow, really switched places on this one today. If you do that, then you are saying that people who are not in a position to be having children should be assisted by taxpayers to do so. If people want to do that, that's going to come at a cost. You could make a special exemption for people who are disabled. Do you draw the line at people who just don't have the cash to be having kids?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I don't know how far you go with that, but because the other side of the coin, if you tell these two people that live in Mississauga that they have, because they have cerebral palsy, they can't keep their child, then you're basically penalizing them. So we're now penalizing the disabled for procreating.
But did they not?
I mean, how far do you take that? Do you then tell the disabled that you just can't procreate?
No, but if they were on their own, they wouldn't be able to care for the child. You know, you could ask the question, have they put the state in a position where it has an obligation to care, to pay to care for the child? Because I don't think it's fair to take the kid away from the children. Or, the parents.
Kid away from the parents, yep.
I also don't think it's fair for people, and I'm not saying that's them in this situation necessarily, but for people who are not equipped to have children, to put a state in a position where you have an obligation to pick up the bill.
Trish, go ahead.
Yeah, what about all the drug addicts out there having babies that have problems with their fine motor skills and their slurred speech, and their brains are also monitored, too, who do not take care of those children?
Well,
and
they technically have a disease.
And we're supporting them.
They have a disease.
This couple obviously wanted to have a baby, and they made a conscious decision to have a baby. And I think, you know, good for them. If they've got their minds about them, they should be assisted in being able to have this baby and raise it with help.
So you think taxpayers should pay for it?
I think we should help, yes. Because we're helping all the drug addicts out there. You go find your nearest meth clinic, and there's mothers hanging out there smoking cigarettes with their babies and waiting for their next little shot of orange juice or whatever that they're probably going to go sell for a hit of heroin. And they're dragging their kids around with them.
Yeah, and I would make the argument that in the drug addict's case, that's more of a choice than what these people were born with.
Yeah, but
so,
you don't, you know, if,
I
you, want,
that
if
those
you want
people
to take the legal
to
approach, they don't have a choice of whether or not they have an addiction to whatever substance. Mm.
Tell it to the judge. Jesse, go ahead.
John. You know what? My mother was in a wheelchair. Does that mean that me and my two brothers, actually, we were taken away for 2 years now that I think back. My children say they had to fight like hell to get them back. But, you know, that being said, where do I join up to help these people out? You know, I don't make much, but I'll commit. I'll commit to giving them a couple of bucks every week. And if some more people step up, they're entitled to keep their kid. And you know what, John? I'm really shocked. It's okay for Premier Dad to provide all day kindergarten for a couple of million saps and mooches in Ontario, but we can't help this one couple out.
But where does
you
it
know,
stop?
You know what? You truly are a stiff.
Where does it stop?
Yeah, no, where does it stop? Why do I have to pay for all day kindergarten?
Well, we're talking about setting a precedent. You realize that.
So we set a precedent. We got one couple, and we set the precedent, John. You know, like I said, my mother was in a wheelchair. We were taken away for almost 2 years.
Me, was that the wrong decision?
And you know what? And my parents were wonderful parents. And you know what? Just because she was in a wheelchair, they deemed her incapable of looking after us while my dad was at work. So you know what? I've walked in this couple's shoes. I know what it's about, so... You know, where's our compassion in society if we can't help somebody else?
And not that I'm looking to provide the counter argument here, but you are in effect, and I don't think you're saying let's rip parents away from their kids. I think what you're saying is
we have to make a decision.
Well, I think what you're saying is let's make sure the kid's okay.
Well,
ultimately
that's what it comes down to. But if you're going to set a precedent, we've got to know what that precedent is. I just find it really funny that I talk about compassion quite a bit on this program. And compassion actually plays into what role the government decides it's going to take. I just want to establish that now. And if taxpayers want to be part of this discussion without being saps, then go ahead.
Well, we're going to
talk star 8255-71010. We're going to talk to the guy who is actually taking care of, well, I guess the child and helping to raise this child at this point. But how long can he do that for? You're listening to In-Depth Radio News Talk 1010.
If you want to interact with the show, text us at 71010. Give us a call at Star Talk, Star 8255. You can also email the show, friendlyfire@astral.com. We're talking about a couple out in the West End in the Mississauga area, Maricel Palasak and her partner, Charles Wilton. They are parents of a healthy month-old baby boy named William. Both of them, however, have cerebral palsy, which limits their motor skills and slurs their speech. And now the Peel's Children's Aid Society is concerned about their ability to take care of their son, so much so that they've expressed an intention to remove the child from mom and dad. Now, before we go any further, and we talk to our guest who's been helping the family through all of this, we're getting a lot of text messages directed towards you.
Yeah, I'm actually really not happy about this, Ryan. Give me a sec.
All right.
If you're one of the people hiding behind your cell phone right now, calling me an idiot, calling me heartless, what else am I getting here?
Well, there's been a lot of it.
There's been a lot of it, and I'm asking a question.
Well, I think you're asking a question, and I think your intentions might be not as apparent as they probably should be. What you're concerned about is the well-being of this child.
Ultimately,
and you're asking a question as to who takes care of the
well-being of this kid. Yeah. And there's no question about that.
And I don't think that makes you heartless in any way.
No, and the point is, by making a decision on this case, Children's Aid, and ultimately it's going to be up to the provincial government, will be setting a precedent. They will be setting a pace going forward, saying, with this kind of case, the taxpayer is going to pick up the bill. And what I find so ironic about this, and such the amount of vitriol being directed at me right now, is the same people who are calling me heartless are the people who call me a communist, a bleeding heart, and all the other terms for some pathetic sap. So let's figure out what your approach is. If you are compassionate and you've got half a brain in your head, then I think you probably know I'm not a heartless human being.
Yeah, and I wouldn't describe you as heartless. I would call you other names, but not heartless.
I wouldn't say heartless.
Ryan Machette is the program coordinator for the Coalition for Persons with Disabilities and one of the individuals very familiar with this case. First off, Ryan, I guess the question a lot of people want to know is, how able are Maricel and Charles when it comes to taking care of their kid?
It's a good question. They're very able, actually. And he nailed it. It's very much a fine motor skill, and the speech is somewhat impaired. So it's very difficult, I think, for some people that don't know the speech patterns and that don't really know them personally, to pick up on that. And I think that's where sort of the misconception of whether or not they're actually able to care for the child comes in, because sometimes if you're new to chatting with them, it's a little bit difficult to understand them. But they're very intelligent, they're very much with it, and there's no cognitive disability there whatsoever. The physical aspect of it, Maricel and Charlie are able to change the baby. Maricel is breastfeeding. The necessities of life are definitely being taken care of.
So what is it you're doing? What kind of services are you providing them, or some kind of assistance?
Well, when we got the call, Maricel's been a part of the coalition for about 12 years. I've known her for 5. And so we got involved because she's very, very, very close with our executive director. And so she called Linda and basically just said, this is what's happening. CAS is involved. What can I do? And so what we said was, okay, well, we'll get a plan in place and we'll figure things out. So whether it's, if it's a matter of putting in care or whatever the case may be. So Maricel actually delivered 2 weeks early. So our time frame of 2 weeks to try to figure a plan shrunk significantly to 24 hours. So what I've done is I've hired a company called Bayshore to go in to provide 24-hour care as per CAS's mandate in order to release the child into their care to go home. So that was in order to get them home. We were going to buy 3 weeks of attending care in order to come up with a long-term plan.
So what is it exactly they're doing, though? What is that attendant doing? Yeah.
Yeah, so what they're doing is what CAS wanted, and again, I just wanted to go on and just say that CAS does a fantastic job. They have a very, very, very difficult job. I couldn't imagine doing their job, and I couldn't imagine the feeling of thinking that you let one slip by. And I think that's sort of maybe the area in which they're sort of operating this whole case on. But I think I think that what they wanted and what they were telling us that they wanted was they wanted an able-bodied person. And that's where this whole thing is really sort of spiraling out of control, is that the definition of an able-bodied person in their eyes is, you know, a PSW, a personal support worker, or it's anybody that doesn't have a disability. But one in six Canadians has a disability. So when we put together the plan, we actually had somebody that was willing to take on a much larger role in the first few weeks of life of William, of the baby. And we were told that that wasn't acceptable because the person had diabetes. So there's a huge disconnect between the term of able versus disabled.
Ryan, I want to hold you there. If you're okay, we're just going to take a quick couple-minute break here. But I want to come back and continue this conversation. Ryan Michette, our guest, program coordinator for the Coalition for Persons with Disabilities. We're talking about a couple in Mississauga. They both have cerebral palsy. It affects their motor skills and their slurs their speech, but their cognitive abilities are fine. They have a month-old baby boy, and the Peel Children's Aid Society is concerned about that and has expressed the intention to remove the child from the home. We'll come back, talk to him a little further. A lot of people still want to interact. We'll give you an opportunity to do that as well. You can text us at 71010. Give us a call. Start Talk. Star 8255. Ryan Doyle, John Downs, In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
You can check out Friendly Fire with Ryan Doyle and John Downs live weeknights 7 till 10 on NewsTalk1010.com.
After 8 o'clock tonight, why your kids should be going to school this summer instead of enjoying vacation. And don't forget, tomorrow night on the show at 8 o'clock, Rodney King will be our guest to talk about the 20th anniversary of the Rodney King beating, the LA riots, all of the stuff that happened after that. And we'll also talk to him a little bit about Trayvon Martin and what has gone on in that case over the last little while, because I'm guessing he's got some insight on that.
Oh, I'm sure he's got an opinion.
So that'll be tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. Right now, no less of an interesting discussion here locally. Maricel Palasak, her partner Charles Wilton, parents of a healthy month-old baby boy named William out in Mississauga. The issue, though, is that they've got cerebral palsy. The Peel Children's Aid Society isn't enthused about the idea of them raising the child and has expressed an intention to remove William from the house. Ryan Michette, program coordinator for the Coalition for Persons with Disabilities. We were talking with you just before the break. How serious is the Children's Aid Society, you think, in your mind, about removing this kid?
Oh, very. Very serious. They've obtained a warrant. They went into the hospital when William was first born with the intention of removing him, and we're planning on taking him after the C-section. So Maricel delivered 2 weeks early, as I said, and had a cesarean section, and they were planning on removing him at that time. So our executive director stepped in and said, no, we'll provide care. And so that's when I said, okay, you know, I can front the cost for the first, you know, few weeks, and then we'll try to do a fundraiser. We'll try to raise some money somehow to cover it. We just need 3 weeks to sort of get a long-term plan together that they'll accept, and that's been a real struggle too, is trying to get a plan that they'll agree on. So we have a meeting on Friday to really sort of try to give a finalized plan on what that's going to look like. So
what is the more kind of long-term plan here? Do either of them have jobs, and are they going back, or what's the situation there?
Yeah, well, they've both worked before. Charlie's actually a Paralympic athlete. He holds 3 world records. So but he's very employable. He'll most likely be getting a job. Maricel's worked in the past. She'll go back to work, you know, when William gets older. But I mean, they live in able living apartment building, and what that is there's personal support workers that live on site and are available 24 hours a day. So what the plan sort of was originally was to have the care that they get anyway Monday to Sunday from 5 p.m. to 11 p.m. and then Able Living was going to then offer to run their night crew out of their apartment from 11 p.m. to 8 a.m. So we would only have to cover between 8 and 5. So that's more or less what we're proposing. And then, you know, I've been getting email after email.
All right,
email.
Ryan, this sounds a little asinine then. I mean, if there are already caregivers on site that can help out and take care of it, I mean, this shouldn't be something for Children's Aid. And I know you've got respect for them. I mean, you and I may be different opinions there. but I mean, they shouldn't be jumping in and snatching this kid away. There's already a real amicable way of solving this. It just seems like they want to do more with their time than they really should be doing at Children's Aid.
Yeah, and you know what? I mean, it's about perception, right? It's the perception of of what that disability means. It's their perception, you know, it's wrong. I mean, it's a perception that is incorrect of what the ability to provide care for this child is. And I mean, we have put forth, you know, a pretty solid plan, in my opinion. And I mean, you know, CAS is you know, they really have to make sure they have everything covered, and I respect that. But I think that we've really sort of proven that not only are they capable parents, but there's also enough support, you know, within, you know, just a phone call. I mean, they're 24-hour, 7 days a week support just in the same building. That's something that most people don't have, period.
Is there anything else that they're claiming in terms of what is an impediment to this child getting the proper care? Or is it just a matter of you're both disabled?
It's disability.
That's what they say.
Plain and simple disability. If Marisol had cerebral palsy and Charlie didn't, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
Well,
and vice versa.
I believe that, but
you know what I mean.
But they're not citing any specific cases or issues,
right? And there's really no. This would be a pretty serious precedent. And one of you was touching on it earlier. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's. There's no. What I'd like to ask them, and I mean, you know, we're still very much in sort of the talks, and I mean, it's been very friendly in the meetings that we've been having with them. But it's a matter of, I would like to know what list they're going off of to say, you know, here's a list of all the able-bodied people. This is a list of all the people that aren't able-bodied. And then what are you saying about those people? You know, are we going to start taking away the kids of people with MS? Are we going to start taking away kids, you know, from people that are, you know, quadriplegic? You know what I mean?
It's a very
dangerous precedent what they're trying to set, and it's gonna really backfire, because you're gonna have 15% of the population saying, hold on a second, are you saying that I'm not allowed to have kids?
But just to be clear, you're saying that these two parents could care for their child just as well, if not better, than two able-bodied people.
I believe that they need to be given the chance. I believe that they need to be given the chance to prove that they can be good parents.
What would hold them back? Aside from an arbitrary decision, I mean, in terms of actual, you know, areas where they just might have a rough time.
Sure, yeah. And you know what? I mean, there is going to be some need for assistance, you know, especially in the early years, right? I mean, when I came home with my son, I mean, I didn't know the first thing of what to do. Luckily, my wife is an ECE, and she knew what she was doing. But, I mean, it's a terrifying thought to bring home this you know, this person that requires every little last bit of your attention. And, I mean, they, you know, with the motor skills, there are going to be some things they are going to need help with. But, you know, maybe bathing might become, you know, a bit of an issue that they might need some support with, but they can change diapers, they can change him, no problem. The Tetra Society has designed a fully accessible crib that slides from side to side, that locks into place, so it's elevated, so you can actually get a wheelchair underneath it. So, I mean, there's some minor things that they might need some assistance with, but again, it's all just a phone call away.
Well, Ryan, you mentioned a fundraiser. Let me know if I can do anything personally to help, and keep us posted on things here on the show as well.
Please, yeah, we're doing a golf tournament on June 21st at a Mayfield Golf Course in Caledon, and so we have a maximum of 100 golfers that we're allowed to have, and we're doing whole sponsorship as well,
get more information about that?
I'm confirming everything with the golf course on Thursday morning. So as soon as I do, I'll let you guys know. And if you could get out there, that'd be wonderful. We'll get you guys out there.
We'll put it up on our website. We appreciate it.
Thanks a lot.
That's great. Thanks so much, guys.
There you go. Ryan Michette, Program Coordinator for the Coalition for Persons with Disabilities. This is Charge the Audience, John. No question.
Yep.
A lot of people want in. Koba, go ahead.
Hi there. I'm just calling in because I have cerebral palsy as well. I have an 11-year-old son. And at no time was the idea of CAS coming in and taking my son from me, or my husband is able-bodied. It was never entertained. And as I say, but my husband is able-bodied, I have to tell you that for the 6 months of my mat leave, he went back to work, and he traveled in his job. And it's sort of terrifying to think that CAS could have come in and said, under no grounds or no appropriate grounds, because you have cerebral palsy, because you've got this title, or because you do things differently, we're automatically going to assume that you're not capable of caring for this child. Go ahead.
At any point, Koba, did you ever think of yourself as less capable as a mom?
No. What you do is you really learn how to adapt. I mean, what I did with my son was you modify as you go, and what you're doing is, that's what you know. You know, I can't tell you that there wasn't times where I felt the natural fear of a new parent, but you know, the thought of can CAS come in and take him because my husband's traveling for 4 days or because he works full time. I mean, that would have been paralyzing to me. That would have shut me down. And I appreciate CAS. I agree that they have such a difficult job, but I think they're basing their decisions on a sort of cover your butt scenario.
Would the ability of someone with cerebral palsy to take care of a child vary depending on the severity of the condition?
I would say that that's true depending on circumstances. I would tell you that my cerebral palsy is called spastic diplegic cerebral palsy. So it primarily affects my legs, my back muscles, things like that. So I have difficulty carrying. Like I couldn't carry anything over 10 pounds and walk, you know, a far distance. But I could easily lift him from a sitting position. We had an indoor stroller in a house.
Mm.
You know, there was just things
there are ways to do it.
There really are, you know. And if there's fine motor deficits for this couple, they will find ways to work around it because they've adapted their whole life.
We appreciate you calling in with that experience tonight.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks so much.
Bye-bye. We'll come back to a lot of people want to interact. We'll give everybody an opportunity. You can text us at 71010. Give us a call at Star Talk, Star 8255. But I'm going to guess you bring the baby home. You've got a newborn in your arms, and you hear that knock at the door, and it's the Children's Aid Society looking to take your kid away. That's got to be unnerving for anybody.
Well, the other obvious question here is, you know, is CAS qualified to be making a decision as to whether or not a couple can actually care for their child, or are they just going to base it on, well, you both have a disability, and that's enough for us to take it away?
We'll come back. It's Friendly Fire. Ryan Doyle, John Downs, In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
Or are we going to start taking away the kids of people with MS? Or are we going to start taking away kids, you know, from people that are, you know, quadriplegic? It's a very dangerous precedent in what they're trying to set.
In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010, Ryan Doyle, John Downs, Friendly Fire here on News Talk 1010. That was the voice of Ryan Machette, a guy who is a disabilities advocate, Coalition for Persons with Disabilities, a guy who has met this couple that has cerebral palsy in Mississauga. And they're raising a healthy month-old baby boy, but the CAS, Children's Aid Society, doesn't seem to like the idea of them continuing to do so and has insisted that they get some sort of 24-hour care from an able-bodied person. But as we learned, John, throughout the course of that interview, there are already people at this facility that they live in that are there to help them.
Well, they are capable of helping them. You know, do they have a commitment that these people will be there at any hour to assist them? It really does depend on, it sounds to me, on the severity of the disability, no matter what it is. So is CAS in a position where they could actually accurately gauge whether or not this child can be cared for appropriately?
Or do they just hear the word cerebral palsy and think, not fit parent?
Yeah, and that's important. That's an important distinction to make.
Peter, go ahead.
Hi. Okay, so I told your person that, you know, I had a certain position, and I want to semi back off on that.
Changing your mind here.
Well, okay. When you probably like your co-host, what I was thinking when I heard this story initially was they physically cannot, both of them physically cannot look after the child. They've just had the guy coming on saying that's not the case. They can do a lot of the things. They just can't do everything. So that puts a different slant on it. Plus the fact they're living in a place where help is accessible. So that's different. Now, if you want to turn around and say you got two people who are paraplegics, and they can't touch the child, they can't feed the child, dress the child, the kid cuts himself, they can't put a Band-Aid, stop the blood flowing and things like that, then, sorry, you're not capable of looking after the child. We'll have to take the kid away from you. But if you are able to, you know, look after your child to within reasonable level, then, you know, then it's just a case of, you know, well, what extra help? And then I think the government should step in and offer a little bit of help, which they offer now.
I really do get uncomfortable, and John, you can maybe pick this point up. I get really uncomfortable when I hear people say, well, if paraplegics are having kids, then we obviously have to take their kid away, and that kid has to become a ward of the state, and eventually we all have to pay for that ward of the state, and it's not a great existence living through foster homes and all that kind of stuff. And then you go to the line where it's the absolute extreme where people say, well, paraplegics, we have to stop them from having kids, because that's the next part of this argument. And it's an uncomfortable one for people to have. And it should be uncomfortable.
Well, you know, and there's a reality here that has to be addressed, that there are some parents out there, whether they're together or single parents, who might be physically unable to take care of a child and provide the necessities. in this situation, there is a battle going on between whether or not this couple is capable. And I'm not going to say it didn't concern me when Ryan said they should be given a chance. And that's where, you know, an alarm bell went off and I thought, okay, and what's going to happen if it does happen? What's going to go wrong that someone's going to say, oh, okay, well, you know, that experiment was unsuccessful. So there's that, but we really have to know all the factors here. And if this is a situation where Children's Aid is considering all disabilities equal, that's asinine. And that policy has to be reviewed. I don't think anyone would disagree with that.
John, go ahead.
Hey, gentlemen. John, this is not an attack at you at all, sir. I am completely blind, okay? I have a little one coming on the way. And I think an important thing is that both parents are disabled. I think a lot of people's bells go off right away. I've known couples that were both blind, for example, that have had children. And you guys have to understand that there are adaptive methods to that. I'm not going to go through this argument because I think it's if it's dangerous to the child, I don't care if you're disabled or not, the child should be taken away, right? I mean, I think we can all agree on that, right? If you're a fit parent, if you're not, if there's a problem, Children's Service come in. But so far, they're being preemptive. They're making a decision run by a bureaucrat and make it enforcing a decision. I think that's the problem. Okay?
But doesn't it have to be preemptive? Because the other option is wait and see. There are people out there that say you don't wait and see if things are going to go wrong with child care. You take action before it happens.
Well, do you think me being completely blind can take care of a child?
Well, I'm not in a position to make that call, and that's what concerns me.
Yeah, I know. But listen, guys, I mean, I've got 4 degrees plus a master's. I've owned 2 companies, international companies. I've sold them, okay?
Yeah.
I'm completely 100% blind.
Yeah, I would personally say, John, that you've got no problem raising a kid. But again, you have to know what questions Children's Aid is going to ask, what questions they aren't asking, and whether or not this is some sort of blanket decision that's being made.
Well, it helps that we've got someone from Children's Aid who's decided to call in and be part of the conversation. We're happy about that. And we're happy if you do the same. Star Talk, star 825-5710-10 if you want to text us. You could also email us, friendlyfire@astral.com. Ryan Doyle, John Downs, you're listening to In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010, Ryan Doyle, John Downs here on Friendly Fire. We're talking tonight, and after 8 o'clock, rather, we'll be talking a little bit about your kids going to school year-round. We'll address that in just a few minutes. Right now, though, a story that's caught a lot of people's attention this evening has to do with parents out in Mississauga that have cerebral palsy. It was first brought to you by the CBC this evening, and we're picking up on it tonight because I think it's an important story to get out there. They have a one-month-old baby boy, but the Children's Aid Society has said, we don't trust that you're able to take care of that kid 24 hours, so you're going to need to get a care worker, an able-bodied care worker, or we're going to take your kid away.
Yeah, and I'd really like to know, you know, whether or not Children's Aid is, if their workers or their caseworkers are equipped or skilled enough to be able to tell what kind of disabilities constitute unable to take care of a child.
Dominic works for Children's Aid, and he has decided to call in tonight. Dominic, how routine is this? How quickly do Children's Aid decide to take away a kid?
You know, Ryan, I believe, and I joined the conversation late, but it appears to me that we're providing a simplistic response, possibly, to a very complex situation. I've got to start with by saying is that our first mandate is to maintain children when they're in their own homes and provide them with the supports that are required for the child to remain with there. The question you asked, Ryan, is whether or not we unilaterally make decisions to remove children. Absolutely not. We're not the experts. In order to make decisions, potentially around this case and other cases, we look to those that have the expertise, whether it be individuals within the CP field, whether it be medical, etc., to help us make that decision, because we're not the experts.
Do you think a better safe than sorry approach is usually taken?
No. I think you make the most informed decisions based on the evidence that exists. I can tell you is that I was personally involved with a young couple that were both blind. They were referred to the agency by the hospital, not knowing what kind of supports they had. In fact, they were very able to raise that child. Didn't have to come out. We did not have to be involved. It was just simply a question of, is there going to be enough supports for them to be able to manage if they require it? So in essence, let's say for an instance also, and I don't expect this to happen, but I don't know all the details, if the agency were to apprehend this child for whatever reason, they have to be accountable to a court within 5 days that they made the decision based on this evidence that would place the child at risk. So it's not a whimsical decision, but rather a more comprehensive decision.
Well, yeah, and Dominic, from what it sounds like you're telling us, and I have no reason to doubt you, that there are some checks and balances on the back end of things.
I would expect there to be. You know, this all comes down to whether or not you want to see CAS as the big bad baby stealers. I think it is more complicated than that.
When we come back after 8 o'clock, I'm going to steal your kid's summer. We're going to do that next.
That sounds like you.
It's Friendly Fire, Ryan Doyle, John Downs, In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
Thanks for listening to the Friendly Fire Podcast. Catch Friendly Fire with Ryan Doyle and John Downs, weeknights 7 till 10 on News Talk 1010.